Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna, the Source of All Incarnations, Text 16. Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, Srisi Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Prabhupada. The 11th incarnation of the Lord took the form of a tortoise, whose shell served as a pivot for the Mandarachala Hill, which was being used as a churning rod by the theists and atheists of the universe.
Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Shabitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Uprakaramaya Radati Svaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So the theists and atheists, divine and demoniac, Krishna describes that in the Bhagavad Gita. So what is the quality of the demons? They also have good qualities, so many things, but they don't believe in God. They think that gratifying the senses is the goal. They want to become the enjoyer. And this is natural because we can't see God. And we have senses which like to be pleased. Like Freud said, the purpose of life is to enjoy. I mean, that's how everybody thinks. Everybody, every insect, every creature in this world has this idea that let us enjoy. And we don't see God, so naturally we want to enjoy ourselves. God may be far away, but now we have to live in this life and try to enjoy the best we can, because the purpose of life is to enjoy. So, practically speaking, in the real sense, most people are atheists. They may profess to believe in God, but they don't act like God is the proprietor, the enjoyer, the controller. They act as though they have that position. So, what to do? This is our conditioning. We're coming from that place also. We're coming from that consciousness. Everything is mine, and I'm the enjoyer. How does it go, Bogi? You know that verse?
Aham Ameti, I am mine.
Aham Ameti, but there's another. No, there's another also. Bogi Aham, I am the enjoyer, or something. Anyway, I think it's in the 16th chapter. So, that's their consciousness. And not only their consciousness, our consciousness too. We have to be very careful not to fall victim of that mentality, to use devotional service for something to satisfy my senses. It's easy to fall into that mood and then become offensive by maintaining material attachment and by committing sin on the strength of chanting. We have to be very careful that we don't again go back to that condition of thinking that I am the enjoyer. And the only way to do that is to always keep the remembrance of the Lord. Therefore we say Krishna conscious movement, Krishna conscious, we want to put Krishna in the center. So how do we do that? Well, the chanting helps, but we can also make offenses while we're chanting and be you can say and meditating on something else while we're chanting. I remember one devotee confessed to me that he was chanting, but he was looking at the billboards where they had half-naked women, and he was taking a subway to come into the temple. He was struggling with this. So that's there. We have to be careful not to make the chanting as some kind of habit that we just do without really remembering Krishna while we're chanting and trying to we can say, attract Krishna. Krishna will be attracted if we have the right mentality. But if we're competing with him in our mind in some way, while we're chanting, then that chanting will be like firing blanks. We have bullets, but it won't have the same effect. It won't. A blank means it has no potency. Therefore, we have to be always improving. You know, we say, one who is not busy being born is busy dying. If we're not improving the quality of our chanting, improving our sadhana, you know, going deeper into it and trying to make it more pleasing to the Lord, then we'll backslide. It's like Vipamukhya said, well, for the last year or so, I haven't been able to listen very attentively to my chanting. Well, then what are you listening attentively to? Yeah, you're listening attentively to your mind, which is giving you some plan for sense gratification. The choice is ours. Either we make progress or we go back. We can't just remain like in a neutral position. It's not possible. We have to be going forward. We have to be making progress, or we'll go back. So, therefore, there's always a challenge every morning. When we get out of bed, there's a challenge, especially in the morning time. Challenge to get up, first of all. A challenge to sit down nicely and hear ourselves chant. And it becomes something dynamic. It's not just hackneyed. You know, we're doing it every day, it becomes boring. No. If it's done right, it's a challenge every day. Today I'm going to chant better rounds. Today I'm going to improve my quality of chanting, so that Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself more and more. I mean, Krishna is just there. The curtain of Maya is just keeping us from Krishna. And what is that Maya? It's our mind and sense gratification. The mind is contemplating. and therefore, we don't get to see beyond this curtain. Otherwise, when Rupa Goswami is chanting, he's able to see the Lord directly. he's able to enter into the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is there. It's at hand. It's in the holy name. Everything is there in the holy name. But our chanting is not pure enough that we can see, that it becomes manifest to us. So that means we have to improve. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not that we just do it every day mechanically and get the result. No, we have to improve. We have to take it as a living challenge every day, just like the Olympic runner. He wants to win the gold medal. He's every day he has to go out and running. And even in the rain, he'll be running today. He doesn't think, well, it's raining, I won't go. No, he knows that unless he pushes his body, it won't be able to produce to the best degree. He wants to become the best he can, and so he works so hard. So, just for a gold medal. So we're working for Krishna. We're working that we become eligible to enter the spiritual world. So just see how determined we have to be if we really want to succeed. It's not an easy thing. Mostly, we'll have to spend more than one lifetime unless we get some kind of special mercy, because this, unless we're completely free from any anartha, any unwanted desires, we'll have to remain here in this material world, because desire is like a prayer. As long as we're cultivating those desires, we're keeping them also, we're watering them with the chanting and hearing, then you have to stay here to fulfill that desire. Yes, I want this, I want this. Okay, you want all these things, then you have to have another body so you can get them. So it may take us more than one life, but what's the alternative? Just like you were asking yesterday. We say the men should are the natural guides, and so many excuses are given, well, this and that. But what's the alternative? Just like you're talking about Dwarkati's wife, she's not ready to surrender to him. But what's the alternative? She surrenders to her own mind. You have to surrender. There's no, the best alternative is to surrender to Krishna, to Krishna's representative, to find out who is really Krishna's representative. Otherwise, you're just following your mind. Your mind is taking you here and there, disturbing you in so many ways. So what is that? We want to be happy. We've been trying to be happy by following our mind since time immemorial. It hasn't made us happy. That's a fact. Because there's no happiness in this world, actually. So the mind is the king here in the material world, but there's no happiness here. So how, by following the mind, how do we expect to become happy? It's not possible. There may be some so-called happiness for a few days. It's flickering like water on the lotus leaf. Kalina Das tells you. So that kind of happiness, which is sliding off, what is the value of it? It doesn't last. And even while, if we're intelligent, even while it's there, it won't be satisfying. Therefore, it's advised, if you want to have any kind of happiness in this material world, don't look at Krishna, the threefold bending boy on the bank of the Yamuna, playing a flute, wearing a peacock feather. Because once you look at him, then you'll always be in trouble when you go to the material enjoyment. Because you'll see it. Oh, this is this looks nice. I mean, the karmis are working so hard for it. They don't care for rain. They're also going out and running and doing whatever they have to do. They're performing austerities. For what? For this flickering thing, which is obviously has a beginning and an end. So why should I become like that? So even when we are enjoying so-called sense gratification in Krishna consciousness, some license may be there in Grihastha Ashram especially. But that will also be, it won't be that satisfying, because we'll always remember, well, this is temporary. I'm enjoying now for the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. But then it'll be finished and I'll have to come back again to the normal condition, which is trouble, which is problematic. We think, oh, now the problems will be solved. But they're not solved by indulging in sense gratification, even licit sense gratification. Rather, they multiply. Of course, the obvious best, you can say, pleasure is sex life. But as soon as you want sex life, then so much trouble. You have to get an apartment. You have to flatter the girl. You have to tell her so many things, oh, I love you, you know. And so many, in order to keep her pacified, you have to make money, you have to bring nice clothing, you have to have friends for her to meet, and so many things. So from the beginning, it's trouble. And then when the children come, there's more trouble. But you're taking all this trouble simply so you can have sex life, but then as soon as that sex life comes, then there's more trouble. Well, this is our condition. We're in an awkward position. Either sannyas, brahmachari, grihastha, we're all in an awkward position. We don't claim that we're above this awkward position. We're also suffering the, you can say, pushings of the mind. this is the nature of this conditioning. So we have to tolerate. That's the advice Lord Chaitanya is giving us. In any condition, you have to tolerate. And then, what do we do while we're tolerating? We try to improve our sadhana. This brings us back to the point. The morning is the best time. We take rest early so that we can have a fresh morning and make our chanting worthwhile, make it something that we're improving so that the next day we can see, you know, gradually, over years, we'll be able to chant in such a way that will bring us happiness. Anandamaya vyasya. We're joyful by nature. But Lord Chaitanya assures us that that real pleasure is there in the chanting. So why are we not getting that pleasure? Because we're chanting still with offense. But we can, in this very lifetime, experience the real nectar, which doesn't have a beginning and an end, like the sense gratification does. The real nectar of the holy name. What does Lord Chaitanya say? In the first shloka, Chaito Dharpana Majanam, Bhavanahada Vagi Nirvatanam. Then? Shreya Kairava Chandrika. Anandam Buribardhanam. So that Anandam, that nectar for which we're always hankering, and we are always hankering for it, there's no doubt. We're always looking for some rasa. What verse did you read last week?
Oh, it's several of them, Marsh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any place, huh? Mm-hmm.